From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Since the last episode of Naps Chat, a lot has happened in the postal world. We have had the year's first congressional postal hearing, which was conducted by Representative Pete Sessions of Texas. Representative Sessions is the new chairman of the House Oversight and Accountability Subcommittee on Government Operations and the Federal Workforce. We have had a Postal Board of Governors meeting where second quarter operational and financial information was shared. We had the Postal Service formally object to a public inquiry that is being undertaken by the Postal Regulatory Commission regarding the Postal Service's sorting and delivery center realignment and reorganization. And finally, House Postal Police legislation is gaining momentum, and Senate legislation will be introduced shortly. Both bills would clarify and confirm that the uniformed members of the Postal Inspection Service, that is, the Postal Police, are in fact authorized to protect postal employees, postal assets, and the U.S. mail, whether located on or off postal property. Let's start with the already introduced House legislation, H.R. 3005. As you may recall, in late April, Representative Andrew Garbarino of New York, along with Representatives Pascrell of New Jersey, Calvert of California, and Norton of the District of Columbia, introduced the Postal Police Reform Act. This legislation clarified existing statute by ensuring that the Postal Service's Inspection Service fully recognized the authority of its postal police force as law enforcement officers who are authorized and trained, in part, to protect letter carriers and other postal personnel, including postal supervisors and postmasters, from assault while performing their public duties. Congress, as well as the rest of the country, has become alarmed by the acceleration of assaults committed against postal personnel. The House bill is numbered, as I said before, H.R. 3005. The bill is collecting bipartisan support. On Friday, May 19th, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Richard Durbin of Illinois, at a Chicago press conference in a National Association of Letter Carriers Union Hall, announced his intention to introduce legislation to also clarify the law enforcement authority of postal police officers. The senator's bill would explicitly reverse the Postal Service's 2020 policy of restricting postal police officers to postal facilities. Chicago has been hit particularly hard by postal-related crimes. Senator Durbin's introduction is a crucial step to moving the issue forward. NAPS will post the bill number and its text as soon as the bill is introduced. Senator Durbin will be gathering co-sponsors for the bill. Durbin's committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee, would have primary jurisdiction over the measure, and he serves as part of the Senate leadership team, being the Senate Democratic Whip. NAPS intends to strongly support the bill once it's introduced. Earlier this week, as I mentioned in the introduction, Representative Pete Sessions convened his subcommittee to receive testimony from Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. The ranking Democrat on the committee is Representative Kwasi Mufumai of Maryland. Also sitting in on the hearing were the Republican and Democratic leaders of the full Oversight and Accountability Committee. They are Chairman James Comer of Kentucky and Ranking Democrat Jamie Raskin of Maryland. Unlike previous hearings at which the Postmaster General testified, there was limited drama in this hearing. Though a number of committee members, both Democratic and Republican, raised parochial postal concerns about issues that have directly impacted their constituents, including delivery reliability, facility accessibility, and postage for local periodicals. The hearing began with a number of committee members, including Representatives Mifume and Raskin, discussing the increased prevalence of crime against those who deliver the mail. The Postmaster General advised the members of a new initiative by the Postal Inspection Service to harden mail receptacles, that's mail collection receptacles, and replace the keys, those are the arrow keys, that secure mail collection boxes, replace them with electronic locks. The Postmaster General cautioned, however, that the conversion from arrow keys to electronic locks will take some time. Relating to the Postal Police Authority to protect mail carriers, postal assets, and the mail outside of a postal property, the PMG maintained the Inspection Service's line that he lacked the authority to deploy the Postal Police, and even if he did have that authority, he lacked the manpower to do it. Amazingly, the Postmaster General denied that there were ever carrier protection patrols or that postal police performed law enforcement functions beyond the perimeter of a postal facility in the past. Postal documents apparently furnished to the committee factually contradicted the Postmaster General's mistaken assertion about what the postal police were able to do prior to the year 2020. In addition, at the hearing, the Postmaster General announced that on Friday, May 19th, the new Postal Service Performance Portal would go live on the internet on the Postal Service's website. Postal customers will now be able to view how particular zip codes perform, that is, their on-time performance. The legislative language in last year's postal reform bill authorizing the public online portal was a major priority of Chairman James Comer of Kentucky. In a large part, at the hearing, the Postmaster General provided the committee with an update in the USPS's Delivery for America plan. DeJoy reported that 98% of Americans receive their mail in less than 3 days, with an average delivery time being reduced over the past 2 years from 3.6 days to 2.5 days. In addition, he thanked the committee for their efforts with regard to the Postal Reform Act, which yielded significant fiscal relief to the Postal Service, especially with regard to its retiree health liability. Nevertheless, the Postmaster General was less upbeat about postal finances in general, particularly the inability to meet certain projected targets that were envisioned in the Postal Service's Delivering for America plan. He pointed his finger at inflation and the continued decline in mail volume. In addition, he indicated that the numbers in the Delivering for America plan assumed that the Office of Personnel Management would have already decreased the Postal Service's pension liability by using a more equitable formula in calculating the Postal Service's Civil Service Retirement System and Federal Employees Retirement System, that is CSRS, and FERS obligations. Within the broader context, the Postmaster General seemed to declare war on the Postal Regulatory Commission, stating that the Commission's actions had the effect of destroying the Postal Service and harming its financial position. This charge raised a lot of eyes in the hearing room, and obviously at the Postal Regulatory Commission about 2 miles away from the Capitol. Despite the Postal Regulatory Commission providing considerable price flexibility more recently, the Postmaster General was extremely critical of the Commission's past narrow interpretation of what justifies a so-called exigent rate increase, that is, a postage increase that exceeds inflation as defined by the Consumer Price Index. In addition, the Postmaster General bristled at a question posed by freshman Congresswoman Summer Lee of Pennsylvania relating to the Processing and Delivery Center initiative. She asked why was the Postal Service objecting to the Postal Regulatory Commission's public inquiry into the Sorting and Delivery Center reorganization. He alleged, that is, the Postmaster General alleged, that the Postal Regulatory Commission has absolutely no authority to look into this reorganization plan and alleged that such a PRC action would adversely affect the implementation of the Delivering for America plan. However, the Postmaster General never indicated how such an inquiry would hamstring the Postal Service. The Pennsylvania Congresswoman also asked a question as to why the Postal Service did not engage with impacted communities, impacted stakeholders, and impacted postal personnel prior to the commencement of the Sorting and Delivery Center realignment. The Postmaster General asserted he did communicate, but on follow-up, he did not indicate how and what was the magnitude of that community engagement. As NAPS chat listeners know full well, NAPS believes communities around the country, the postal community, and the USPS itself would greatly benefit if these issues were resolved, that is, the issues about sorting and delivery center initiative, and the Postal Service did not take such an adversarial position relating to the inquiry into that realignment. On another issue, committee member Representative Gary Palmer of Alabama, who also serves as the chairman of the House Republican Policy Committee, asked a question about a recommendation made by the Postal Board of Governors chairman Ramon Martinez at the May Board of Governors meeting. Ramon's suggestion is based on a recent white paper authored by the U.S. Postal Service's Office of Inspector General. It relates to the investment of Postal Service contributions and postal employee withholdings for the Civil Service Retirement System and the Federal Employee Retirement System. The proposal would permit the Postal Service to invest those funds, that is, the funds attributable to postal employees and the Postal Service, into a mix of 60% stocks and 40% bonds, rather than investing all the assets in low-yield Treasury securities. By the Office of Inspector General's estimation, the Postal Service's retirement assets would have exceeded $1.2 trillion if invested in the proposed mix over time, rather than the current estimated asset value of $298 billion. According to the Office of Inspector General, many states and municipalities use this investment strategy, that is, the stock bond strategy. The idea is that with an increased rate of return on its investments, the Postal Service would not need to contribute as much towards the pension system's unfunded liability as it currently does. Legislation would definitely be needed to implement this proposal, and clearly it demands further study because it is a rather significant change in the way in which the Postal Service handles its pension obligations. We will be taking a more detailed look at this during the next NAPS chat, when I will have as my guest one of the authors of the Office of Inspector General's white paper. As mentioned at the top of the podcast, the Postal Regulatory Commission initiated a so-called public inquiry into the Postal Service's sorting and distribution center plan. It is the Postal Regulatory Commission's intent to provide the opportunity for postal stakeholders and the PRC itself to query the Postal Service about the plan as the plan proceeds. The PRC's stated intent is to shed light and provide transparency with regard to the initiative by providing a public forum to learn more about the strategic plan as it may impact the postal community. On May 5th, the Postal Service issued a full-throated, some would say over-the-top, objection to the public inquiry. The Postal Service, in a 31-page filing, requested the Postal Regulatory Commission to reverse course and withdraw the public inquiry. The Postal Service's ill-advised position reminds me of the line from Shakespeare's Hamlet, which is spoken by Hamlet's mother, Queen Gertrude, for those of you who remember your high school Shakespeare. And the line is, "Thy lady protests too much, methink." The Postal Service has gone overboard on its objection, in other words. In sum, The Postal Service has charged that the Postal Regulatory Commission lacks the authority to conduct this public inquiry. This is the issue that Representative Lee touched upon at the May 17th postal hearing, which I referenced before. Taken together, the Postmaster General's response to Representative Lee, as well as this filing, one gets the sense that the Postmaster General is making the case that he wants a deregulated United States Postal Service with limited, if any, oversight by any entity, whether it be the Postal Regulatory Commission, the Office of Inspector General, the Government Accountability, or Congress itself. A number of mailer groups have filed papers contesting the Postal Service's assertions, and NAPS anticipates that the Postal Regulatory Commission, notwithstanding the Postal Service's objections, will proceed with the matter. The question is whether the Postal Service will go to court over the issue, and if they do, they'll likely lose the case. With that being the last word this week, I want to thank Naps Chat listeners for logging on. If you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store, and more importantly, share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.